T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. It is Tobin Leroy here with you on 790 The Ticket. Taking it up until 10 o'clock. Good morning, Leroy.
What's happening? Did you relocate?
Nope. Same place. What are you talking about? Relocate? Like, what are you talking about? Relocate?
Sounds like you're in a different room.
Nope.
All right. Just curious.
But I can't hear myself, so I don't know how I sound. That doesn't. What are you doing? That doesn't do anything for me. Hi. How about a little bit more feedback, a little bit more details there, co-host?
It sounds like you're in the bathroom.
Really? Let's see. That's no bueno. Let's see. How about now? Oh, you know what? I know why. Let's get to this. Ah, I figured this out. See? Hold up. Wait a minute.
So, you know I met MC Hammer, right?
Yeah, I think I'm vaguely familiar with that story.
What?
Yeah, well, in Cleveland, you know, we had the luxury of anytime a concert came to Cleveland, we got to go backstage. So I remember me and Metcalf, we went to see MC Hammer, and he was really cool. Could see why he went broke, because he had like 700 people, you know, on the stage with him, dancers, the whole thing, right? He had a crew. It wasn't just some of his boys. It was a crew. And then we met Janet Jackson, Madonna. Going backstage for Madonna, let me tell you, everybody was naked. Everybody. I was like, yikes. And Janet Jackson didn't say one word to us.
Why is that?
I don't know. Just like quiet.
Huh. Interesting. All right.
You didn't shoot your shot?
What do you mean?
At Janet Jackson.
Oh, no. Nobody thought they had a chance until they saw her with Jermaine Dupri. Then everybody said, man, we had a chance.
Huh.
Got to shoot your shot.
Not real talkative, though. No. I mean, look, I was just there, you know, hey, what's up, whatever. But my boy was like, Janet. So disappointing when couldn't even strike up a conversation.
And then
step
Jermaine
shot down like that.
Then Jermaine Dupri, man. Ugh.
You just know when you go, for example, one time I was in Vegas. Me and my boy were in Vegas. And we saw this little fella up against the wall with another dude. The other dude was big, looked like a bodyguard. And I'm like, oh. You know who that is? I'm like, that's my man Wesley Snipes, right? So it was just like at a random, you know, it was at a club, and he was just standing by himself with his bodyguard. So me and my boy went over there, and we was like, yo, what's up, Wesley? What's going on? You know what I'm saying? And his bodyguard gave us an arm bar. I'm like, excuse me? I'm like, all right. I'm like, you go ahead on. I'm like, wow.
Then after that, it was hard times for Wesley.
It's not like that, but if you're going in a club, let's think about it like this. If you are somebody that's pretty well known and you go in a club, why are you going in a club if you don't think people gonna come up to you and say what's up? You know what I'm saying?
I guess it's like, was he in VIP or he was just standing around?
No, he wasn't in VIP.
Yeah, if you're not in VIP, I think it's just, I think you got to expect people are going to come up there. But if you are in VIP, like, I understand they pay a lot of money. They just want to be out with their friends, not be bothered.
It was just him and another in his bodyguard.
He just had his bodyguard? That was his friend?
That's it. And it was standing, like, it was in a quiet spot. It might have been VIP because it was only, like, us and a couple other people. Right?
Yeah, that sounds like VIP, man.
Huh?
That sounds like VIP.
All right. He was standing up against the wall, so we ain't like me. I was like, all right.
Never saw a Wesley Snipes movie again, did you?
Nah. No, that was right before the trilogy of...
Blade?
Blade. Hmm. I think it was the early 90s. So he was hot at that time.
I'm sure.
At the time, he was the guy. You know what
Willie
I'm saying?
Willie Mays Hayes.
Yeah. He, like, the new Willie Mays Hayes wasn't as good as him.
No. No, Omar Epps was not as good as Wesley Snipes.
Wasn't Omar Epps in 8 Mile?
Was Omar Epps Omar in Epps? 8 Mile?
No.
No, that wasn't Omar Epps. No. That was...
Mekhi Phifer.
Yeah.
Let's get the headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Well, Leroy, we finally got our official fight for UFC 249 yesterday. Tony Ferguson and Justin Gaethje fighting for the interim lightweight championship of the world in an undisclosed location in America.
Right.
That is all Dana White would give us.
Well, you know what my concern was. What belt are they fighting for?
It is the interim lightweight belt, which is essentially a placeholder lightweight belt. I guess if Khabib can never get out of Russia again, I don't know why.
You can't. I mean, do they do that for the money or to you know what I mean? That they are
I believe it's been said, like, you know, guys fighting for belts, it just sells the pay-per-view better.
Right.
So
you think they just gave Khabib some hush money to, like, to not make a big deal about it?
No, I mean, he's stuck in Russia. Damage is done, my friend. He kind of made his choice.
I mean, how did he make his choice?
He's stuck in Russia. He went back to Russia.
But there's circumstances beyond his control.
That's fine. But he's still in Russia. There's nothing to hush.
All right, I got you. I mean,
It's not like they don't want Khabib to fight. This isn't like a Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua scenario where you actually want one of the fighters to step aside or to hush. They want Khabib to fight. He's not able to fight.
You know what I feel like? I feel like Dana White said to Khabib, right? Them's the breaks. He pulled the old Tobin on him.
I don't doubt that term may have been thrown out to him. Dana, what is this? Them's the breaks. I'll tell you. Take it up with Putin.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good card. They have Francis Ngannou on the card versus Jarzino Rosenstrike. That's a killer heavyweight matchup. Rose Namajunas, Jessica Andrade are going to be rematching. So a lot of good action on the card, but even more interesting was the news that came in afterwards, Leroy, because Dana White then told TMZ and then followed up by telling ESPN that after this fight card on April 18th, He is now putting fights on every single week on a private island that he will secure in the coming days. He has bought an island for fights.
What?
Yup.
Holy smokes.
He bought an island for fights. Now, this is a gangster move. I can't even front. Like, I look, you know, I want the Tony Khabib fight. I just want them to postpone it, let it go on, because I want this fight so bad. But I will give Dana White credit. The guy does not go down without every avenue being searched and used. And so Dana White has decided, not only are we back to regular business on the 18th, but we're putting fights on every single week, and we're doing it at a secret island somewhere.
All right.
I mean,
that all sounds great. That island better have, like, the essentials on it already, right?
I don't know. You don't want it to be like Firefest, where you have Ja Rule showing up and it's like two tents.
Well, no, you're going to need electricity. You're going to need a medical staff. You're going to need, there's a lot of things that you're going to need, like basic things that are at a fight that you can't, I guess you won't need it sanctioned, right?
I mean, theoretically, I don't think you would need it sanctioned. I think they will sanction it. Like, I think that they'll find a commission to pay and do all that stuff.
Who's going to sanction if it's not in their state?
They'll just, you know, they'll, it's like when they do it, they'll do it in certain countries sometimes, and they'll just import a sanctioning body from another country.
All right. I'm a little nervous about
it. It's a little nervous. Now, we're going to talk to John Anik coming up in the 8 o'clock hour today show. He's the voice of the UFC. He's the guy you hear call all the pay-per-views. So we'll get his thoughts on everything that's kind of unraveled. And I'm sure he's seen, you know, Dana White and the owners of the UFC pull some pretty boss moves before. But this has to be up there, because he obviously has to go to Secret Island in the coming weeks. So
yeah, I wonder how he feels about, like, you know, when you hear about all the stuff that's going on in the world and how everything's pretty much shut down. How does he feel about not being shut down and just being flown to some undisclosed location?
This is what I would guess. I thought about this too, because I was, you know, what else do we have to do yesterday? But I would think that, you know, there's, you know, 6 million people are, you know, filing for unemployment. And I think if you are told that you got to do this to keep your job, and, you know, you work for a pretty heavy entity in the UFC, I don't think you're probably thinking about it very much. I think, and I'm also sure he's probably done and had to go to some pretty wild places, like, you know, Brazil and other parts of the world. I think he probably thinks this is part of the gig. That's what I would guess. I don't know. I don't know John very well, so we'll find out. But
right.
I'd imagine that's probably the thought process of any of a broadcaster or anybody who has a pretty high profile gig with the UFC. So it's an interesting one. But that's as the UFC turns.
Right.
Yesterday we found out that the Dolphins have arranged a video conference session with Washington quarterback Jacob Eason, that according to Barry Jackson. Okay. So Jacob Eason is coming in for a smokescreen interview, so good for him.
Okay.
Doesn't mean anything. He's,
why do you say smokescreen?
Because he's not getting drafted by the Dolphins. Like it's lip service.
I would not see him getting drafted that high.
It's like, hey Jacob, how are you? You know, if I'm Chris Greer, I'm there showing up in my boxers, because I'm like, I'm not drafting this guy.
But
this smokes. Smokescreen.
I could say this. Keep the name in mind, because those are some of the guys that get drafted in like the late teens, early 20s, that go to a better team. And down the line you go, how could we have missed this guy? When the fact of the matter is, it's because he's going to a better team with more stability that he's able to flourish more than the other quarterbacks. I mean, kind of the same situation with, if you go and look you know, down the list of great quarterbacks and look at them getting drafted late in the first round or the second round, part of that is due to the fact that they're going to a better team and a better organization, and sometimes they tend to have a better run in the NFL.
Shout out to Myers Leonard, his little 24-hour gaming marathon yesterday. He raised $70,000 to feed people across America. So good job for Myers Leonard. Shout out to him. And Adam Silver came out yesterday. He says he does not expect to make any decisions on the NBA until at least May 1st. And there are reports that the Major League Baseball Players Association and Major League Baseball are increasingly focused on a plan that could allow him to start the season in May with many of the games, or most, with all of the games, rather, taking place in the Phoenix area, which would include the Diamondbacks Chase Field and I imagine the other spring training facilities. That's not fair. How come we can't get all the baseball?
What do you mean? I would think that you would just play the baseball where you have your spring training.
We got spring training down here. We got stadiums in West Palm. Are we like? Is it too much of a disaster here? Is that why?
No. You think they're going to have all the teams in Arizona?
That's what it says. It says a plan would dictate that all 30 teams play at stadiums with no fans in the greater Phoenix area, including the Diamondbacks Chase Field and 10 spring training facilities.
Well, how about that?
But we got spring training facilities.
Well, could it be something as simple as they have the resources to be able to hold all 30 teams, whereas if they checked in Florida, they probably went with a place that, you know, doesn't have as much of an outbreak, and two, they may not, down here, they may not be able to house all 30 teams in those areas.
Well, I don't know how big Arizona is. Like, how far are these spring training places so far? Because
they're closer to a major city, aren't they?
I think so. Because here we have like West Palm Beach, Jupiter, and St. Lucie are also kind of close. Then Miami's, you know, obviously way away. So
right, that's what I'm saying. So it could be more of a schematics thing more than you picking this moment to be petty.
Yeah, I'm not being petty. I was just like, hey, you know, I'm not being petty.
How can it be?
Well, I mean, how is that petty? It's just a question. You know, we're trying to break it all down.
Okay. Like, they can't fit all 30 teams in West Palm.
I think you could.
No, you couldn't. We've been up there. We couldn't even find parking.
A lot of fields at that Jupiter facility.
Okay, but we couldn't find parking.
Nobody's allowed to go.
I like the idea of maybe having one league in Arizona and one league here in South Florida.
Right. Like, just do half the teams there and half the teams there and not have the leagues for this year. And you figure it out that way.
I hope they do a lot of afternoon games. I'm not trying to stay up at 9:40 to watch some baseball.
It's the West Coast.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, usually when the Marlins play the Diamondbacks, those games don't start till like 9:30, 9:45.
Oh, we got more news.
What's that?
Speaking along the lines of what baseball is trying to do, golf.
Oh, that's right.
The British Open has been canceled.
Canceled.
For the first time since World War II. Jeez. And they will move. And I was, you know, when I saw this, I was like kind of positive and got a little warm and fuzzy feeling. Not because, but it seems like these organizations are trying to plan for the future, so maybe they see something that we don't, or they're making a plan and hope it works out, but they could still cancel all of them. But
right now isn't the timetable for the Masters to be in November?
Yes, the Masters is going to be in November. The PGA Championship is going to be in August, and it's still going to be in Harding Park in San Francisco, and the U.S. Open will be September 18th through 21st, and it will remain at Wingfoot in New York, and that's, you know, that's probably that's probably the latest you could have it, believe it or not, because any later you're risking the weather issue.
Oh yeah, because so that, you watch some of those baseball games in October playoffs, it could get dicey. Right.
I think they also rescheduled the players. I'm not sure, and the playoff. So they're gonna jam all that in. Now the good news is that I think Tiger was a little banged up, so you might get to see more of him because he's not golfing and he's gonna get a lot of time off. The bad thing about it is that it's going to be a lot of golf in a short period of time, and he might have to skip some big time events. So we'll see. But it felt good to, like, you know, with baseball trying to come up with something. you have UFC trying to move forward, and now you have golf with definitive dates on when they would try to do things. This is all probably predicated on how we get through this pandemic, but people are looking to the future and trying to have some type of plan to get back to normal. I don't know how feasible it is, and they all really stress that, look, these things can change, but we had to make plans just in case. We didn't want this to be a last-minute thing. And unlike UFC, where you can just go have it on the island because all you need is the fighters and, you know, television crews or whatever, it's a little different for the other sports. It's a little different for golf. It's a little different for baseball because the season is not just a weekend of fights. It's a long season, and plans have to be made accordingly.
All right, well, we got a little update as far as the Heat's front office is concerned yesterday in regards to the Chicago Bulls. We'll give you that story. 15 minutes of Heat coming up next. Ah, 15 minutes of Heat here for you on the ticket on a Tuesday morning. Tobin and Leroy here with you. You can text the show 67974. One texter very mad at me, saying I'm being dismissive of my. He says Tobin's dismissive attitude towards Khabib going home is gross. Keep deriding. Ugh.
Well, didn't he go home? Let's backtrack a little bit. Here's probably why I'm so annoyed by this. Not because, you know, Khabib's not on the card. But wasn't it supposed to be in, like, Saudi Arabia or somewhere out there, the fight originally?
I don't know. That was according to his dad. We never heard that.
That's why he left. And then he got stuck because they were going to close the border, so he went home.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like a case where he just said, I'm going home. There's
definitely something that's lost in communication. Like, it definitely is like he heard it was going to be there and kind of just went. Now, did he hear it from the UFC and then it changed? I don't know. That's the thing that's kind of left up in the air. All I'm saying with Khabib is, look, I feel bad. I understand that we're in unprecedented circumstances. But I think that the move should have been, you should have just done, now maybe it'll come out that the UFC told him to go to Russia, and I'm absolutely wrong, but I find it weird that he would have been in America. It kind of feels like he thought it was going to be in Dubai, picked up and left, and then got stuck. The thing I feel bad for, though, in this whole thing is that Tony Ferguson's dealing with this too. Like, so you're in a situation.
He's from here.
Doesn't matter. Khabib has the ability to be here, work here, train here. He's not going to be he wasn't going to be stuck in America.
So
he
isn't that Dana White's fault for not saying?
I don't know if it is. If Khabib thinks the fight's going to be in Dubai, let's say it's his manager tells him we think it's going to be in Dubai. That's what I last heard, and he up and leaves. Is that Dana White's fault?
Well, if Dana White's the one that told him that.
I don't know that he did, though.
I said this when this started. right? If there was uncertainty on where the fight was going to be, the first thing Dana White should have done is gotten all of his fighters to one location. Now, I do understand that under no circumstances when this is all going on that anybody would have thought that borders were going to be closed. Okay? But if Dana, if anybody, hey, I don't know if this is going to happen. If I don't, you know what? Let's get all our fighters in one country so that when this does go down, at least we'll have the fighters in one location. And if we have to move it, we can move them together.
Right. So, which, but they were, but Leroy, they were all in one country. They were all here. They were in America. He left. He wasn't training in Russia.
Right. No, I know. All right. I mean, again, it'll come out. I mean, I don't know many people that just randomly go to.
I've been waiting. Look, I've been, you know, I thought, you know, I was watching this his interview with ESPN yesterday. He didn't really want to go into it. He wasn't being a jerk about it. He's like, look, I wake up every day. The rules are different. You know, he's not going to try and hose down Khabib with it. I'm not hosing down Khabib with it. I'm just saying that, you know, I understand, you know, when you're asking why are they doing an interim belt, I'm like, they got it. They're trying to sell a pay-per-view. Belts sell a little bit better. And Khabib's stuck in Russia. What's his boss supposed to do? He's got a business to run. You know?
All right. I mean, that certainly sounds like a them's the breaks, even though
it is a them's the breaks. This literally is a them's the break situation, but he literally has been told every morning. I'm not like some huge defender of Dana White, trust me. But it's that's literally what it's been every morning. It's like, oh, we're not allowed to have more than 10 people in a room, them's the breaks. We're not allowed to have more than 50 people in a room, them's the breaks. Like, this has kind of been a them's the break scenario.
All right. I know one thing. If I'm doing anything along those lines, I'm making sure that my fighters have an idea of what's going on. Don't be traveling all over the world. You're going to get stuck. I would emphasize that. Mm-hmm. And then if that scenario presents itself, you say, hey, buddy, I told you to stay here.
The thing that's going to be, but here's the thing that works out for Khabib anyway, is that everyone knows he's the champ. UFC fans have a very long memory. This happened with Daniel Cormier and John Jones. Like, nobody ever let Daniel Cormier have the credit of being light heavyweight champion, even when John Jones was suspended. So it's not like people are going to forget who the real champion is. People did those with Conor too. When Tony and Khabib were fighting for the championship, people were like, yeah, but Conor's the champ. Like, until he's beaten, that's the guy right now. So it doesn't matter. It's cool that Tony's going to get a piece and he'll get to, you know, talk it up that Khabib ran scared to Russia. It'll make for good fight promotion. Hopefully the sixth time they try and make this fight happen, it actually happens if Tony doesn't lose. But, you know, I don't think this is going to be one of those things that really damages Nurmagomedov at all.
No, because everybody thinks he's the best fighter.
Yeah, so it doesn't – it really doesn't matter. But if you're asking me why that happens, I think they're like, all right, well, we need a fight to happen. Tony's not fighting unless we told Tony we were giving him a chance to fight for the championship of the world. And it's not his fault that a guy got stuck in Russia.
Now,
it's not.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the champ gets a bigger portion of the purse or the gate or whatever.
Usually, yeah. Like, you usually get a piece of, you know, the pay-per-view and all that type of stuff.
So, just a little Fugazi championship.
It's not like boxing where they, like, you know, like Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, like, they fought 50-50 split the last time, and now because Tyson Fury won the second fight, now Tyson Fury gets a 60-40 split in the trilogy, you know?
Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
Usually guys' contracts are a little bit more set.
Right, but I'm saying from the standpoint of, okay, if Tony Ferguson and Khabib end up fighting, right, mm-hmm. and Tony Ferguson has the interim belt, that would piss Khabib off, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, wow. He's like, I'm stuck in Russia, and I was the champ, and I come back to part of my, you know, my gate or my purse.
I think he's going to be more mad, like, if it ends up, if for some reason, you know, let's say Putin's crazy, you know, and this thing just, if he ends up having the borders shut for who knows how long, and it ends up in a place where, like, Connor fights Tony for the then interim belt, or that's what's going to piss him off. Because I don't think he hates Tony Ferguson. Like, they have a professional hostility towards each other. But it's not the personal venom that he has for McGregor.
If McGregor gets involved in some kind of way, because if it's all about money, right, and you're putting these fights on, you definitely want to get Conor involved as soon as possible.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah.
I think a big reason why they tried doing this fight is because Dana wanted to get to Khabib versus Conor before the end of the year. I think that's what he was hoping for.
Right.
You know, Tony can end up winning, but I think that's what the whole goal of making sure this particular fight happened.
I like chaos, because guess what could happen?
What?
What happens if Tony Ferguson loses?
Oh, that's, yeah, it all spirals downhill from there. Terrible. That's probably what I'll have. All right, promise we'll give you the Heat news when we come back. 50 minutes of Heat. We'll actually do 50 minutes of Heat next. Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy. Take it up until 10 o'clock today. You can text the show 67974. Very active text line early on this morning, Leroy. A lot of people up and about. Getting those rough nights of sleep.
Yep.
God, my wife was watching the worst show yesterday, man. She is like, she's kicking on this. I wanted to watch Westworld last night. She goes, but sometimes I'm writing stuff up at night. She goes, well, can I watch my show while you're writing your stuff for tomorrow? And I said, sure. And, you know, as she was watching the Dana White island story was breaking, so I kind of got stuck into that. And I'm like, it's just like she's watching this vampire show. It's the worst.
What's
I'm just
the name
like,
of the show?
Legacies, I think.
Oh, no, there's one that comes on WB. I can't think of the name of it.
Well, this is on Netflix, but it used to be on WB. It's a spinoff of The Vampire Diaries, which you used to love. But all the people on the show talk like Jay Ajayi. Like, it's a, hey, I'm a vampire. You're a vampire, shocking blood.
There's a ton of English actors, man. Everybody's English. If you,
I know.
I mean,
Are there any American actors that go British, or is it all British who go American with their voices?
Who's the guy that was with Tony Stark, his buddy who wore the other suit?
There was another guy who wore an Iron Man suit.
Remember he wore the red, white, and blue suit.
The Captain America.
But it was I can't think of his name. He was an English guy in Ocean's 11.
Oh. Yeah, now I got to
search.
Keep it going. Told you we'd give you some Heat news. So we talked yesterday about the story of the Chicago Bulls wanting to emulate the Miami Heat's front office. And the guy that they had big interest in was Vice President of Basketball Operations Adam Simon, who works, of course, side by side with Pat Riley, president of basketball operations, and Andy Ellisberg, numbers guru, Andy Ellisberg. And yesterday, multiple people came out from sides with the Heat. And the Heat have basically said that Adam Simon is not going anywhere, and so we can put to bed all this Chicago Bulls nonsense. So hopefully, Adam Simon got himself a nice little raise there, nice little. Hey, people are interested in your raise, and he's apparently not leaving, Leroy. He's not going to Chicago.
Don Cheadle.
Yeah, Don Cheadle does that move. That's sure.
Yeah, remember he was in Ocean's 11. He was English?
Yes.
Yep. That's it. That's all I got.
That's the only guy I know.
Except sometimes when they do the old, English like movies and stuff, like the Queen movies, sometimes you'll have an American female, like more females do it than males.
It's crazy. It's definitely crazy. But these guys, oh my God, the show was so annoying yesterday. So shout out to Adam Simon, realizing that the Bulls are a bleep show, and he don't want no part of that culture. He's like, I got my own culture. I'm gonna stick right here in the Miami hub. I don't need to be branching on out into Chicago, which seems like a bit of a mess. Chicago's got a bit of a cheap reputation too. Like, don't you know, as yes. Famous as that franchise is, it's not exactly one that opens the purse strings. You know, they're not one that'll spend at all costs. So,
well, remember if you don't recall, when Jordan, that was yep. one of the things with Jordan.
Yep.
That they went cheap.
Real cheap.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
All which right. I'm sure we'll get more insight into and good stories from with this new documentary that's coming out in a couple of weeks, because that's debuting what, in 12 days? It's going to be the day after the UFC.
The day after the UFC. That's it.
So that'll be cool. But yeah, he's not moving on. We did get, so Leroy, what do you think about this? So yesterday, or 2 days ago, Dwayne Wade and Udonis Haslam, they did their Instagram live. But Dwayne Wade says that he wants to get Aaron Gordon on his little podcast. His Wade does this little wind down podcast. He drinks wine, and you know, is he's done it now with he's done it with Udonis Haslam. He's done it with Chris Paul, and they're fun. You know, it's fun getting to see two players like that close, getting to kind of just banty about. I watched Carmelo and Jimmy Butler. That one sucked because all they did was literally talk about wine. Not surprising that Carmelo Anthony would host a boring podcast. I would assume Wade would host a better one. But Dwayne says that he wants to try and have Aaron Gordon on his podcast. He wants to talk about the dunk contest. Bury the hatchet, if you will. Do you think Aaron Gordon will accept?
He ain't got nothing else to do. Look,
he's got nothing else to do. There's no reason he can't do this podcast.
Here's what I'll say about D Wade. Like, it's hard to get on the wrong side of D Wade.
Yep.
And it doesn't bode well for you if you're trying to be anything in that sport. So I would guess that yeah, he would accept the invite.
Because everybody thinks Wade fixed this contest, even though he wasn't the only one to give a 9. Like, I saw Steph Curry. Steph Curry was still taking shots the other day. Like, he was playing, I think he was playing 2K against his brother Seth or something like that. And, like, Seth ended up getting the road. He goes, that was a worse hose job than Dwayne Wade giving Derrick Jones the dunk contest.
Right.
So, like, it's in everybody's vernacular that Dwayne Wade fixed that contest. So I would understand why Wade wants to put that behind. If Aaron Gordon doesn't accept, it's clearly something that still bothers him.
Yeah, I mean, look, it seems like, okay, Leslie, you're going to have a problem with D-Wade, who's probably, as far as NBA goes, never heard somebody say something negative about D-Wade.
Except, you know, Dirk.
All stars have had some situations during their career. It's just part of, you know, being elite.
Right.
Not D-Wade. So if you're on the other side of that, it's more likely that you'll get over it before people start feeling bad or feeling terrible about D-Wade. Because most people just laugh at it. Right? Tell a little jokey joke about it.
Yep.
You're the only one taking it serious. That means that's on you.
Udonis Haslam told him not to do it. He goes, why bother? You don't got to do it. He's like, Derrick Jones won that contest. He goes, why you got to do that? I was there. I love you. You know, I was like, I was there. He won.
Yep, that's it.
You don't bother. He goes, don't bother. Who cares? Yeah, I kind of with UD. UD's like, look, the damage is done, my friend. You can't give him the dunk contest, so what's the difference?
Right. That's true.
Because, I mean, honestly, Aaron Gordon really isn't. Is he going to be happy with anything other than Dwayne saying he did? If he says he did fix the contest, then what? If he says he didn't fix the dunk contest, Aaron Gordon thinks, yeah, you did. You fixed it for your guy. You fixed it for Heat Lifer.
Again, I just think it's one of those situations where everybody, nobody's making as big of a deal about it. If you're the only person making a big deal about it, as probably you could, you probably should start making light of it too. So dropping little subtle jokey jokes in there to let people know, you know, I'm over it, but I got screwed. He got way too serious over the dunk contest.
I should be here. I should have two trophies right now.
Right.
I have changed my career goal, and I now want to win a three-point contest.
Right. Like, all right. Oh, no. Good. Man, he going to build Jeter's house up there.
We'll get you caught up with your headlines. A lot of things going on. Breaking UFC news. A lot of leagues putting their plans forth of what they're going to do when this whole thing with COVID-19 hopefully ceases. So we'll give you some of the updates with that. We'll be back with more right here on Tobin and Leroy after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.